The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Simon Yud Beis. Hachonas Aguf L'Tfilah, the preparation of the body for prayer, when Mekaymes Shiroim is Paloshem, in the places where it is proper and appropriate to pray there. We're in the middle, we're up to Sif Vav. V'imrachatz Yadav V'Abayker Karoi. If a person washed his hands in the morning properly, meaning he washed Negel Vasser, he washed Netilas Yadayim in the morning, V'inyadu Amleshin is Lachlechu Yadav Be'ez Adavar, and he is not aware, he does not know for sure that his hands became dirty with anything specific. He just hasn't been careful to make sure his hands are absolutely clean, but he is not cognizant of any specific thing that he did to make his hands dirty. Mikol Magoim still came to Siach Daite Ben Time, since he removed his mind from guarding his hands in the middle. He wasn't paying a special attention to his hands to make sure that they remained clean. So therefore, they're presumed dirty insofar as the prayer is concerned. Va'filon lamad ben time, even if he studied Torah in the middle, gamkin have hesech hadas, that also is considered to be a hesech hadas, a removal of the mind from from the guarding of his hands. He's not thinking about his guarding his hands as he is studying. And therefore, v'tzarach gamkin l'rachtam b'mayim l'tzarach tefil, he also is obligated to wash them in water in order to pray. This is a law which is unique to the prayer of Shemoneh Esrei, because the general rule is, the general principle is that a person's hands are presumed clean, as long as he knows that he washed them in the morning, so they're not presumed dirty anymore, and even though he hasn't been paying a special attention to them, he could say blessings, he could say other parts of the prayer. However, Shemoneh Esrei, the prayer of Shemoneh Esrei, is something which is special, extra special, and there's a special mandate to wash one's hands. Even if he does not know that his hands are dirty, as long as he does not know for sure his hands are clean, he's obligated to wash his hands for the prayer of Shemoneh Esrei. There is a machlokes, there's a disagreement among the Poskim, what about Kriya Shema? There are those who compare Kriya Shema to all other blessings, that one does not have to wash his hands specifically in order to say Kriya Shema, as long as he's not aware that his hands are dirty, whereas others compare it to Shemoneh Esrei, that a person is obligated to wash his hands even if he does not know that his hands are dirty, as long as he does not know for sure that his hands are clean. However, in this case, where he's only washing his hands because he doesn't know for sure they're clean, does not have to make especially sure to search for water and make sure that he uses water to wash his hands. If he does not have water which is easily available, water which is prepared and easily available, and if he will search to find water, he will delay praying with the congregation, meaning he will miss davening with the minyan. Because let's say the minyan is starting now, the congregation is praying now, he does not have water, and if you have to, let's say, travel to his house to wash his hands, he will miss the minyan, he will miss praying with the congregation. So when that's the case, well, yachzor aleihem, he should not search for water, he should not go to find water. He should cleanse his hands anyway. He should cleanse them with anything which cleanses, such as a dry towel or the like. And then he should pray with the congregation. You see clearly from this line in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that in a different situation, in a case where he knows for sure that his hands are dirty, for example, he woke up in the morning and his hands are presumed dirty and he has not had a chance to wash with water, or he knows for sure they touched a covered part of his body, in that case, since he knows for sure his hands are dirty, he is obligated to search for water, even though he knows he's going to miss tefillah b'tzibur, he's going to miss praying with the congregation, still he has to make sure to find water. And the only time he could get away with cleansing his hands with something else, such as a towel or some other substance which cleanses his hands, is in a situation where the water is very far away, as we discussed in the previous sif. If the water is more than 4 mil more than 72-minute walk from where, if in the in direction that he's traveling, or it's more than a mil's walk, an 18-minute walk. If he's going backwards or if he's stationary, he's in his house, he would have to walk 18 minutes in order to procure water. And that's in that case, even when he knows for sure his hands are dirty, he's allowed to cleanse his hands with something else and then pray. But otherwise, he's obligated even to lose the benefit of praying with the congregation. However, we did mention that the Mishnah Berurah disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah is of the opinion that if one will not be able to pray with the congregation because he is searching for water, even though he knows that his hands are clean, he knows his hands are dirty, still it is preferable to cleanse his hands with some other substance rather than forego praying with the congregation. Sif Zayin. Yishtadel v'yisamis, a person should make an especially strong effort to pray with the congregation. Tachsiv, as it says in the verse in Tehillim, in Psalms, v'ani tefin lasi l'cha Hashem, eis ratzon, my prayer is offered to you, Hashem, at a time of favor. And the Talmud asks, emasa eis ratzon, when is this special time of favor that King David is referring to? That is, b'sha she'atzibur mispalim, at the time when the congregation is praying. L'chsiv, as it also says in the verse, kaya mar Hashem, so says Hashem, be'eis ratzon ani si'icha, at a time of favor I have answered you. Which means to say that Hashem answers, is more responsive to prayers that are prayed with the congregation than when one prays alone. V'nekadosh baruch hu mlayis b'tfin lasan shel rabim, the Holy One, blessed be He, Hashem, does not despise the prayers of the congregation, of the masses, of the multitudes. V'afilu yesh b'em chaydim, if there are sinners among the masses. One has a congregation, and there are people there who are not especially pious, or even sinners. Still, as long as there are 10 Jews praying together, Hashem does not despise their prayers. The Chsiv, as it says in the verse, Hain, behold, Kael Kadir, v'lo yimas, which we explain to mean Kael, that Hashem, Kadir, Purish Rabbin, the multitudes, mean the prayers of the multitudes, v'lo yimas, as if it said without the prefix of the Vav, without the conjunction and, the masses are not despised. He does not despise the masses, meaning he does not despise the prayers of the congregation. And it says in the verse, Pado b'shalom nafshi, he has redeemed my soul in peace. Mikrov li, he has saved me from a war. Keep it rather, Mahayimadi, because there was a multitude with me when I prayed. That Hashem saves a person from calamities, from distress, because in the merit of him having prayed with the congregation. So we see from here the importance of praying with the congregation, that who knows if a person is able to, most people are unable to pray with the 100% complete concentration, but when one prays with the congregation, his prayers go up to heaven or answered anyway, despite the fact that there may be a lack of concentration, there are other components lacking in his prayers. But because he is together with the tzibur, because he is together with the congregation, his prayers are answered. Now, this law, this halacha of praying with the congregation is really an obligation. If one is able, one is obligated to pray with the congregation. The kitzur is telling you that you have to be, it's an obligation one should be especially careful about because of the benefits that come along with it. But one should not think that it's optional. You know, if you're not in the mood, you don't have to pray with the congregation. I'm tired today. One is obligated to pray with the congregation. However, there are certain exceptions. If one will, let's say, sustain a loss of money, one does not have to pray with the congregation. Or as the kitzur will discuss in the next sif, if there is no available congregation, you would have to travel extensively in order to reach a congregation to pray with a minyan. He doesn't have to, not have to do so. So there are exceptions. If one feels that he is unable to pray with a congregation, he should consult with his Rav to discuss whether or not he is indeed exempt from this obligation. But generally speaking, a person is obligated to make every effort to pray with the congregation. Now, tefillah b'tzibur, praying with the congregation, is referring to the prayer of Shemoneh Esrei, that one is supposed to pray Shemoneh Esrei in the presence of 10 adult male Jews, and at least six of them, including himself, should be starting the Shemoneh Esrei prayer together. There is a disagreement among the Paiskim whether you need 10 people to start to pray Shemoneh Esrei together, or you need 10 people to be in the room and six of them are praying together. And the general consensus is that all that is required for Tefillah B'Tzibur is that six people be praying the Shemoneh Esrei together and they're in the presence of 10 people. And while a person may be inclined at times to try to be strict about this, it's not worth being strict about this at the expense of possibly losing the ability to pray with a congregation. For example, if a person is at a wedding or something, at some event, and he finds five other people who have not yet prayed, he could ask four other people to stand there together with them while they pray. If he's not sure if he's going to be able to pray later with the congregation, with the minyan, he's certainly better off praying like this, being that that is the consensus of opinion, rather than waiting and hoping maybe I'll find 10 people who have not yet prayed, and he may end up losing the ability at all to pray with a congregation. And again, starting, we said that at least six of the people are supposed to be praying Shemoneh Esrei together. That means that they should start together. Starting together does not necessarily mean a split second on an atomic clock. It means, however, that they all seems that they're starting together. It looks like they're starting together. One starts a few seconds earlier, a few seconds later, but they're all basically starting together. That is the technical definition of Tefillah B'Tzibur. Once there is already a congregation that is praying, any person afterwards who comes and starts praying while the congregation is still praying Shemoneh Esrei, that's also considered Tefillah B'Tzibur. So if a person comes a little bit late to the synagogue, comes late to shul, let's say for the mincha prayer, even for Shacharis, and he's running behind, and he's not able to start together with the congregation, while it is certainly preferable and optimal to start a person to start his own Shemoneh Esrei prayer together with the congregation. However, if he did not do so, as long as the congregation is still praying Shemoneh Esrei, and he starts his own personal Shemoneh Esrei prayer, that is also considered Tefillah B'Tzibur. That is also considered a prayer with the congregation. And if he's stuck, if he completely misses the prayer with the tzibur, meaning when he gets there, no one is still praying, or very few people are still praying, but he's able to start praying together with the chazan, together with the shliach tzibur, that also is considered a form of tefillah b'tzibur. That if he, since the chazan is praying on behalf of the entire congregation, so that itself is also considered somewhat a tefillah b'tzibur. And if you, the individual, will pray together with the chazan, saying the words together with him, obviously in an undertone like a regular Shemoneh Esrei, that also is considered the tefillah b'tzibur. So optimally, one should certainly try to come on time to prayers and start his Shemoneh Esrei with the rest of the congregation, but again, these other options are also available in case he misses that first option. Sifches. Ha'haylech b'derech, one who is traveling on the road, and he reaches a place that he would like to spend the night there. If where he is, there is no minyan, there is no congregation who is praying together, but in the direction that he is traveling, he will be able to find a congregation that is praying with a minyan, up to a distance of 4 milon. 4 milon, again, is 8,000 cubits, which is somewhere between 12,000 and 16,000 feet. It's a distance that takes about 72 minutes walking. So it's a distance that one can walk in 72 minutes, or this distance of 12,000 to 16,000 feet. There is a disagreement among the modern-day Paiskim, what happens if someone is driving a car? Do we say that he only has to travel 4 milen, 12,000 to 16,000 feet, which is not a whole lot, to be covered in a car in a very short period of time? Or do we say that he is obligated to travel 72 minutes by car in the direction in which he is going in order to pray with a congregation, and that is a current day disagreement, certainly it's preferable if one has the option. It's not too tremendously difficult. It's always worthwhile to try to make an extra attempt to pray with the congregation. As we said before, that a person's prayers are more accepted by Hashem when he's praying with a minyan. It's a very important mitzvah. Very important to try to make an effort to pray with the congregation. However, there is a disagreement if a person is finds it difficult. There's a disagreement if he's obligated to travel 72 minutes ahead, or if it's efficient if there is no minyan within, let's say, 16,000 feet, within a couple of miles, then he does not have to travel with his car further, even though it will take him less than 72 minutes to reach a place where there is a minyan. So the Kitzur says that if there is, will be a minyan within 72 minutes, or 4 mil, if he will be able to travel there while it's still daytime, he will not have to travel by himself at night, which is dangerous. So he will not have to put himself in danger in order to travel to get to this congregation to pray with a minyan. Then he is indeed obligated to continue traveling in forward in the direction that he was planning on going, a distance of 4 mil, 72 minutes, Kadeshius Palabitsivor, in order to pray with the congregation. And then he will find lodging over there where he ends up. He has to go backwards or to the sides. Then, he has to retrace his steps at least a mil, which is 2,000 cubits between 3,000 and 4,000 feet, which is a distance that takes to walk. It's a distance of 18 minutes. Kadeshless Palabit Sibur, in order to pray with the congregation. On the Koshkin, certainly, he should not leave a place that there is a congregation who will be praying. If you're able to reach your goal, reach the place that you are intending to stay while it is still daytime. That means that if you're traveling somewhere and you can leave earlier in the morning, but if you do so, you will miss praying with the minyan, praying with the congregation, or you can leave a little bit later. Certainly one should leave later in order to be able to pray with the congregation, provided that it will not prevent him from reaching his goal before night, because to travel at night alone is dangerous, it's not so safe, and therefore a person should make sure to travel only during the day, and if praying with the congregation will prevent him from traveling during the day, he's not obligated to do that. However, the Sefer, which brings down the opinion of Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, that he holds that nowadays that traveling at night is not necessarily so dangerous. It's very light in some places, lots of people on the street. Everything depends on the circumstances. You can't automatically say that because it gets dark, one is not obligated to travel in order to pray with the congregation. Certainly one can imagine that if it's 5-6 o'clock in a winter day and everyone's out and about on the street and everyone's traveling at that time, it's hard to hear that a person should be exempt from traveling to pray with a congregation just because it happens to be, technically speaking, the nighttime. Continues the Kitzur, Siftes. Mitzvah Gedolah L'Yispal Beis HaKnesses is a great mitzvah. It's a great thing to pray in a shul, in a synagogue. But they said medrash, or in a house of study, where they study Torah. Shehem mekremes mekudasha is because those are holy places, and the prayer in such a place is more efficacious, is more special because it's in an aura of holiness. Vafilin lepa'amim is batel, shein shaminin. Even if you're in a shul, in a synagogue, and they don't always have a minyan there, or you personally aren't able to pray with a minyan at this time, it is a mitzvah, it is a positive command, it is a positive thing to pray in a shul, in a synagogue, even alone by yourself, because they are holy places. That means by the time you get to the synagogue, it'll be after the services are over. No one's going to be there, there won't be a minyan. Still, as long as it's not too scary, as long as it's not dangerous, it's not a desolate area, it is preferable to actually go to the synagogue and to pray there even by yourself rather than to pray at home, because the synagogue is an area of holiness. Again, just to clarify, one is not obligated to put himself in or to walk through an area of danger in order to pray with a congregation. And therefore, if a person would travel to the synagogue, which is in a deserted area, and there would be no one there at the time he gets there, he's not obligated to do that. Similarly, he's not obligated to travel through a dangerous area in order to pray with a congregation. And if the only way he can pray with a congregation is by going through a dangerous area, he's certainly allowed to stay home and pray without a congregation, without a minyan. Misha Darkin Luma de Beis HaMedrash, a person who is accustomed to studying in a house of study, in a Beis HaMedrash, meaning a place where there is no, it's not, we call a shul, it's not a synagogue, rather it's a private house of study, then he should pray there Basara with a minyan, with a congregation, with a quorum of 10 people, even though in his city there is a basic Knesset, there is a synagogue where he is capable of praying. However, for himself, in order not to waste time from his learning, he should pray together with the congregation and in his personal house of study, so he doesn't have to waste time from his learning, traveling to the shul, to the synagogue, and then coming back. And he should study, he should pray where he studies. Abel, however, Misha in Dr. Luma, Beis HaMedrash, if a person does not normally study in this particular Beis HaMedrash, in this particular house of study, Yispalo, Beis HaKnesses, is preferable to pray in a synagogue, Sheish Baroi Vam, that has a multitude of people, has a larger number of people. So Baroi Vam, Hadras Melech, and the verse states that with the greater number of people is the glory of the king. The more people there are who come together to pray, the more there is honor to the king, to Hashem. And therefore, it's better to pray in the synagogue. However, the Mishnah Berurah clarifies, this is only if the two options are a house of study, a private house of study, let's say in a person's home, he has a study, a small, little, private place where he studies, or you have a synagogue. However, if you have a public house of study, basically open to the public and people come there to study, then that area has more holiness than a synagogue. And it's preferable to pray there, even with a smaller congregation, rather than the synagogue. However, nowadays, this law is almost irrelevant, because nowadays almost all of our synagogues are also houses of study. Virtually every synagogue nowadays has Torah classes and times when people come and they study together, and therefore almost all of our synagogues are also houses of study, and they have that higher level of sanctity that a Beis HaMedrash has, and therefore one would not say that it's preferable to pray in a study hall. It is a study hall. Almost all of our synagogues also have the benefit of being considered a Beis HaMedrash, that higher level of sanctity which comes together with it. And now the Kitzur will discuss, so what happens if you have a choice of two synagogues to pray in? So the Kitzur tells us, in Yesh B'Irah Shtei Bate Knesiyah, so the person has in his city two different synagogues, Yemlech B'Har Chayka, there is a benefit to going to the further synagogue, Sheyeh Anlo Yischar Pesiyah, that he will get reward for traveling. There are those who say that when one travels in the car, this does not apply, and it's only if you're walking by foot, and you have a greater distance to walk, then it is preferable to pray there. But this is only talking when all things are equal. If a person has a fixed place to pray in a certain synagogue, just because a new synagogue opens up somewhere else, which has a greater number of people, does not mean he should switch his customary synagogue. Also, if he studies in a particular synagogue, then there is a great benefit. Talmud tells us is beneficial for one's prayers to be said in the place where he also studies. So if one studies in a particular area, in a particular synagogue or a particular house of study, it's better to pray there where he studies than to go to a different synagogue which has more people. And similarly, if there are other factors, one synagogue is the style or the version of that you're used to, or vice versa, or in one synagogue, the people there are quieter, one feels he's able to have more kavana while he is praying there. So all these are factors which may make it preferable for him to pray in one synagogue, which is smaller rather than a larger one, but all things, or a further one, I mean, but if all things being equal, if they're two equally sized synagogues and no other difference to you, it's better to walk to the further one to get rewarded for extra travel. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Talmud tells us that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, a person should always try to awaken early, to arrive in the synagogue early, so he should be counted among the first 10 congregants in the synagogue. Even if 100 people follow him, come afterwards, he receives reward equal to all of them. He receives an equivalent amount of reward for all their prayers because he was there among the first 10. And the earlier you come, the better you are. Number one gets reward for all the ones who come after. Number two, including numbers 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, etc. The earlier you come, the better off you are. Oid Amr Razal, and our rabbis also tell us, any person who goes in the morning and the evening to the synagogue of Beis HaMedrash or to the study hall, to Bizman HaRoi, in the proper time for prayer, and he stays there after the prayers are over properly, he doesn't rush out, he stays a little bit, so he doesn't, to show that he's happy that he was praying, not that it's a burden upon him and he feels the need to rush. And he treats the place with the proper level of holiness. He acts in accordance with the holiness of the area. He merits longevity of days. He merits to have a long life. As it says in the verse, Ashrei Adam Shemiyanli, happy is the person who listens to me. To hasten, to come quickly to my doors every day, meaning to get there early. Nishmar mezuzas pesachai, to guard the doorposts of my doorways, meaning as if to say that he stays late, just like a watchman who stays a long time to guard the synagogue, so to this he stays after the prayers are over, he doesn't rush out. And the verse says afterwards, ki matzi matzachai, and those who find me have found life, the one who does this, acts in this manner, he will merit a long life.